Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Camp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. I hope you're having a great Monday. It's been a hot one here in California today, and even though it usually cools off this time of day, it's still pretty warm over here. Hope it's nice where you are. Isn't it nice to see the price of gas going down a little bit? What a nice relief. It kind of just, I don't know, just relieves a certain kind of tension. I think a lot of us feel that. The tension when the prices just kept going up. And now that they're subsiding a bit, I think everybody feels a little bit more relieved, a little more relaxed. Just takes away from some of the general tension that we experience in our life today. For those of you new to the show, this is a show that's about your destiny and the destiny of people that you love. We work with an ancient system where every birthday of the year is assigned one of the 52 playing cards. This playing card is assigned mathematically to each birthday of the year, and it symbolizes things about your life, your karmic pattern that you're born under, with which you will express and work and live and learn from over the course of your life. Every pattern has its own unique properties, though there is always enough room in any card for a variety of expression. But not unlimited variety. And there are common expressions for each card that we tend to find more often. But once you understand the science, I call it the science of numbers, that is behind the meaning of the cards, you begin to understand how these cards have to express themselves in certain patterns. So you can find out what your card is tonight if you don't already know. You can call in after our first break, which will occur around 7:30. And you can call as a guest and ask a question and find out about something going on in your life, a relationship, or ask questions about your future. An update on the presidential election. I think we're really starting to see, the gloves come off a lot between McCain and Obama. I've talked about this a little bit last week, but I really think that Obama's choice of running mate is going to play a big role in whether he wins or loses this race. I really don't think that he can win it all by himself. If it was just him and McCain, I don't think he would have a chance of winning because his card is a nine of diamonds. McCain is a ten of diamonds ruling card, so this makes him moon to McCain. Now, there are other factors that come into play there, but overall, I really think that this moon connection is so powerful that it usually expresses itself that the card in the back, which in this case would be Obama, will always be in the back. But with the right running mate, I think that could change the tide. If, for example, Obama's running mate we're in a more powerful position in relationship to McCain. We'll have to see. We'll really have to see how this plays out. And there's also, when you pick a partner like this, in the cards in astrology, like getting married, for example, and, of course, having a vice president is a powerful relationship, you end up creating a third entity between the two of you, which has a different karma than either one of you individually. So there's always this unknown quality when the running mate comes in. Either way, it's going to be very close. I think we're going to see a very close race. And I don't think things are going to be really decided until the day of the election on November 7th. Speaking of days of the year, today is August the 11th, and today is Leo, and we're in the heart of Leo territory right now, right in the middle of Leo time. And happy birthday to all you Leos out there. I hope you're going to have a wonderful year this year. If you're born today, you're a Leo Two of Diamonds. And your ruling card is also a Two of Diamonds. And so you are a double Two of Diamonds. So you will exemplify and you will exaggerate the expression of the Two of Diamonds. And Two is primarily a partnership card. It's about people. But it's also a money card because it's a diamond. So people who are Two of Diamonds, they value partnership. They also value money, and they have a very powerful, logical mind. One thing you don't, that probably a lot of people don't pay attention to about Two of Diamonds is the fact that their Mercury card, the first card in their life spread, is the Jack of Spades. This is very significant because you will find, from time to time, you will find Two of Diamonds people who will go the Jack of Spades route. Their mind is extremely creative. You know, this Mercury card is a card of extreme resourcefulness and creativity, which also could turn to dishonesty. The Two of Diamonds itself is not a dishonest influence by any means, but having that Jack of Spades in Mercury, any of the Two of Diamonds could become dishonest, and they could justify it through the logic of their Two of Diamonds brain. Two of Diamonds, all the twos are extremely logic-oriented. They're some of the most brilliant people in the world. As a matter of fact, a woman named Marilyn Vos Savant, who was born in 1946 on August 11th, has the highest recorded IQ ever of 228. So this is what you have the potential of with Two of Diamonds. But that Jack of Spades also brings creativity. And so we have other people born today, like here we have Jerry Falwell. Okay, his birthday is today. And, you know, he's infamous. And because he went to the Jack of Spades side. Not all of them do, of course. We have the Survivor winner, Amber. Her name is Amber. It's actually Amber Mariano now. Burkitch was her name. And she won the Survivor All-Stars. Well, how do you think she won? I think it was due to her Jack of Spades that she had the craftiness to win. Klaus von Bülow was born today, and he went to the criminal side in his life. But then on the other hand, we have Steve Wozniak, who was one of the co-creators of Apple computers. And his, I don't know much about his personal life, but we know that he was extremely creative, a big part of Apple computers, especially in the beginning before he moved on to other things. So we can see, we also have the author, Alex Haley, who wrote Roots and who wrote the Malcolm X story. Alex Haley was born today. So here you see the creativity expressed positively and negatively, and this is how it works in the cards. The gift is there, the energy is there, in this case, the Jack of Spades. And the question is, how is it going to be used? Now, Two of Diamonds also, they have a great head for money. They're one of these cards that can really figure out investing, stock markets. They can understand. They have an interest in it, too. They have an interest in it, an enjoyment of it. So people born as Two of Diamonds can often make a lot of money in the business world. And it's funny, when I would meet Two of Diamonds people and I would say, what's your birthday? And they would tell me, they would always, a lot of them would give me the same response. They would go, I'm only a two. I think that was kind of funny. And then I would tell them, well, you're great. You're bigger than the ace. Hoping to sort of, you know, give them something good to think about. But Two of Diamonds also, not all of them, of course, but some of them, because of their Six of Clubs karma card, they may have a special purpose, a mission in life. Like Jerry Falwell, even though he had some problems, he probably felt like he was really in the groove there with his mission to help the world in the religious sense. And maybe Steve Wozniak had that same sense of a mission in his life, too, when he was working with Apple. I mean, he did help usher in the age of computers, which we're all enjoying to this day. Especially like tonight, we're all enjoying the benefits of computers. I expect that many of you who are listening tonight have Apple computers. But just in general, computers have been amazing. I mean, this has been an amazing technological advance for our world, which has good and bad parts to it. So tonight, every night I have a topic, and tonight I would like to talk more. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I've just been listening to Eckhart Tolle, thinking about things myself, and going through my own personal experiences. And the question I have, and I've asked this before on the show, is who are you? Who are you? And who do you really think you are? There's something about who we think we are that's extremely important. I think it's bigger than we realize. I mean, why would somebody get into an argument with somebody else? Let's say it's a religious argument, for example, and get to the point where they would actually kill the other person out of that disagreement over something, over a subject, a topic, a belief. Why would somebody get that upset about something that they're discussing? And, you know, this happens every day in personal relationships. I don't think I know any couple that hasn't had arguments. And what are we arguing about when we're arguing? And especially when the arguments get heated, when there's an emotion behind it, when there is intensity behind it, that's way beyond and above what it seems to be the subject matter of the argument. What is really going on? Well, it's become clear to me that whenever I'm involved in a really heated discussion where I get emotionally charged up, it's because there's something more at stake for me than just the topic. And what I'm beginning to see is that what is at stake for me is my very sense of myself, my very sense of who I am. And, you know, it's just, if anybody is threatened, if your existence is threatened, like if somebody was threatening your life, you're going to do extreme things. You might do things that you normally wouldn't do. You might actually kill somebody else if it saved your own life. You might do some really terrible things if your life was at stake, to save your own life or to save the lives of those that you love. And when you see all of us getting so upset in arguments, and or getting upset about our possessions, you have to realize that we must have a lot more at stake than just the thing or the idea or the thought. And what I'm coming to see is that what we have at stake is our very, we think our life is at stake. On a really deep level, when we are feeling that threatened, it's our very existence that we feel is being threatened, as if somebody was holding a knife to our throat. This is how we behave. This is how, and on some level, we justify it. The arguments we get in. We get into some really, not just arguments, but conflicts against all kinds of people. I mean, just being on like a team, like I was watching the Olympics the last couple of nights, and I really, it's pretty neat watching it, and I'm thinking, okay, so I can pick a side here. I can be for the Americans, I can be for China, I can be for Russia, I can be for Italy. I just happen to live in America, and if I'm going to be for the Americans, I get a sense of fun when they win, and I get a sense of unhappiness when they lose. And I have this identity. I become identified with, I'm an American. And being identified as an American gives me a sort of comfort, because everybody around me. And I have a sort of an existence. And then when my team wins, when my American team wins, I feel better. Somebody else lost, but I don't care about them. I feel better because my team won. I'm better than they are. This is what our identity is really about. If you really look at yourself and look at what we're identified with, who are you? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am that certain things would threaten me all the time, you know? When you think about it, we're identified with, number one, our country. We're identified with being our color of our skin. I don't care what color skin is. You know, you're either an Afro-American, you're a Native American, or you're an Asian American, or whatever you are. Or in my case, you're an Irish American, part Native American. I'm not really into that myself, but a lot of people create a strong identity with that, so much so that if you say something about it to them, they react as though their life is threatened, and they lash out in anger. So the good way to find out or to sort of uncover where our identities lie is just to look at what subject matter really activates us and causes us to have these reactions. You know, where do you have your identity? You may say, when I say, who are you? You may say, well, I'm this, I'm that. And you might even say to me, you're a spiritual person. And, you know, I meditate, I practice yoga, I eat a good diet. You know, these are not who you are, but they are places that you have chosen. Each of us has chosen to identify with certain things. You know, I mean, I lived in an ashram for 10 years, you know. For years and years after that, you know, I was this yogi, you know. I was this spiritual seeker. I was this, not just a spiritual seeker, I was better than that because I didn't just seek after God. I actually moved in. I moved in and lived the lifestyle. You know, I was better than everybody who's just talking about spirituality. I had actually lived it. I immersed myself in it. That was my identity. Well, when I moved out of the ashram, I didn't have that identity anymore. A lot of people, when the ashram sort of, it went through a collapsing stage there at one point, and a lot of people left or basically had to leave. When that occurred, a lot of people really, really went through some hard times, and they got really upset because their whole identity was taken away. A lot of them got really mad at the teacher, at the guru, because they blamed him. They had to find somebody to blame. They had to, because they were so threatened by the loss of their world. One guy I know actually died shortly after he was let off on staff. He lost his identity. He had nothing left to live for. He wasn't even 40 years old. So this thing, this identities that we have, I don't think we really realize just how important they are to us or how much we've attached our whole sense of being to them. I don't think we really realize that. You know, how much we're attached to what we know, what we've read, what we possess, how much money we make. How good-looking our mate is. And some people even go to the negative. They become very attached to how sick they are. I mean, how many people do you know that when you call them, the first thing they do is launch into a whole story about their illness? It's these stories that we have about our life. I think more than anything else, these are the things we're really attached to. Stories, you know. My story. I had a hard childhood. This happened. My dad did this. My mom did that. We did this. You know, I have this problem. I have that. Some of us are completely identified with everything bad that happened to us. Others may be really identified with all the good things that happened to them. And they may be saying that from a place of, I feel special. My life has been charmed. All these wonderful things have happened to me. I don't have these problems. Everybody else has those problems, not me. I'm better than that. Either way, it's an identity. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see that all of us are identified this identity we have is always something that is changeable. It's always something that is part, what Eckhart Tolle says, is part of the world of form. Okay? The world of form is the world we live in. This is a physical world. And everything in the world of form has a beginning and has an ending. Everything in the world of form has is part of a cycle. It's like a bell curve. Have you ever seen a bell curve on a graph? It starts out really slow, then it goes up, shoots up really high, then it kind of levels off at the top, and then it declines down. And most everything in life follows this bell curve pattern. It has this beginning, and it reaches up like a tree, reaches its fullness, and then begins to die. Everything in this world that we see, and even the ideas and thoughts that we have, are they're transitory. They're not real in the sense that they're not really going to last. And even thoughts and ideas that we have, you know, like you could be really strong in your beliefs. You might think that your beliefs are unshakable. You might have beliefs about your faith, your religion, or anything in life. And you think you've got it all figured out, and you feel like they're never going to change. And I guarantee you, someday they're going to change. Something's going to rock your world, and it's going to give you a whole different perspective on life. I don't care who you are. It's the way life works. So basically, we have our identification, mostly in our thoughts about things. You know, for most of us, it's our mind. And these ideas that we have, we're attached to. And we're constantly feeling threatened because something is always threatening us. If you have possessions, you're always being threatened to lose them. If you have beliefs, someone else's other beliefs are constantly threatening your beliefs. People come up to you. They believe differently. You get into an argument, a discussion. If you're really attached to your beliefs, you're going to get into an argument. You're going to be willing to fight. If you're really, really attached to your beliefs, you might whip out a gun or a knife. You might kill the other person. If your life depended on it, if you felt like that attachment to that idea was so great, you might, even though you would never consider killing somebody, if you were so attached to a certain idea or belief, you may. You know? It's amazing, you know, people, lots of people, there's been so many, like, murderers that have been discovered, and when people around them find out who did it, they're, like, shocked. They're like, I never knew that was such. He was such a nice person. He never displayed, or she never displayed those kind of qualities. It just depends on what's being our identity, what's being threatened. When you really think about it, for us as human beings, if we are really identified so much to what we think, like our past, for example, and our beliefs, and if all of our security is tied up into those things, we are constantly under threat. And in a way, we're doomed because, you know, everything has an ending. If you're attached to your physical beauty, for example, now I'm 55 years old, and I'm really noticing how the physical qualities that I took for granted for so long are really starting to decline. And it's not because of my belief about them, because I'm an eternal optimist. It's just happening. The body has a cycle. Now, they may be able to extend life in the future, and there's all kinds of possibilities for that. I mean, stories in the Bible report people living to be 1,000 years old, and maybe we will too. But even so, the bottom line is everything that has a beginning has an ending. And, you know, I feel sorry for the women in the United States, here especially, because we place so much importance on beauty. You can't even, a woman who's not beautiful or pretty has a hard time finding a sense of self that she can feel good about in today's culture. So we have, like, this outlandish number of plastic surgery happening. We have kids in junior high school now, girls getting plastic surgery before they've even developed fully. We have, you know, mothers worried about their daughters. We have, you know, this whole thing about our looks. And all this is transitory. and that we're all going to lose it. We're going to lose all of our faculties. I was thinking about my father. He's a two of clubs, king of clubs. He's still alive. He's 76 years old. And he's still got his mind. He's losing his body, but he still has his mind. He's a double club. And I know that it would be much harder for him to find his mental faculties failing him than to find his body failing him. Because that's who he thinks he is. He's this really smart guy. He's a smart ass. He's got everything figured out. And that's what he's identified with. When he starts losing his mental faculties, and he's lost some, but you don't lose that frequently. You don't lose those until the very end. That will be the hardest part for him. To some people, it's their material possessions. These are all the things that we take our identity from. If you're a diamond like me, you know your stuff is what you're identified with. It's your car, it's your clothing, it's your jewelry, it's your the tools you work with, it's your house, it's your it's whatever. It's a diamond thing. You know, if you're a club, it's more of your ideas, your thoughts, and your mind. If you're a heart, it's your relationships, and your pleasures. Spades would be your work, your health, for the most part. So these are our things. So I just wanted to say all this to kind of call into question. I want myself to live in this question of who am I? Am I really this person? And it really causes me to question everything in my life. Like, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, like, why would I want to produce a music CD? What would be the end result of that? What is it that I'm looking for in that? You know, a sense of self somewhere. I'm looking for an enhanced sense of self. And I think if you look carefully, you'll see that most of the things we're doing in life are to enhance our sense of self. All we really want is to feel better about ourselves. And yet we've got ourselves attached to things that could never really make us feel better. They might give you a short sense of satisfaction, a brief momentary burst of, yes, I got it, yes, I made it. But those things will change. They can change instantly. But all of them are ultimately destined to fail you. And when that happens, you're going to feel the pain and suffering of losing the same sense of self that you put into this thing. So this is the question that I'm hanging out with these days, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit. I wanted to share it with you guys. And you know, one thing I realized too is that whenever I have a problem in life, if I take a look, the real problem is my identity on some level is being threatened. Even if it's about money or what, you know, it's not the lack of money may not be the problem. It might be actually what I feel about myself because I have a lack of money. It's really good to look into the heart of the matter and see what's going on. Okay, that concludes our talk tonight. And as we have call-ins tonight, with your questions, we'll take a look and see if we can, maybe in some cases tonight, some of us will talk about what are we identified with. If there's a problem, what is it really that's being threatened in that moment? What's really being threatened? I look forward to your calls. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to the song called Karna's Song off my CD. And the phone lines are open. You can call in. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls. I hope you're having a great evening, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. book and back. I write that with Karnoff, my CD Bhakti Rock. This is Karnoff's song. He was a warrior that was proud, powerful, and yet had a sort of a tragic life. That's why the song has a little bit of a bittersweet quality to it. Hope you enjoy it. We do have a caller on line two, and lines are open, so call in if you're one going to. And I want to speak to Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you, Barbara?
Fine, thanks.
And what is your question tonight?
Well, you know, this took some interesting questions to ask about. I'm trying to read for a friend of mine who is married, and he and his wife, you know, they have a somewhat of a strong marriage, but yet, I, from what he tells me, there's a lot of dissatisfaction there. But I'm looking at both their cards for the coming year. I'm looking at his current cards, which indicate that maybe even sales, and I'm trying to get him uplifted and optimistic that there could be some possible money cards in his coming his way. But then I looked in the following year, and it seems to me, and that's just when I have to ask you, when you're doing a reading for somebody, it seems to me I see a lot of divorce cards coming up, and maybe even secret affair on her part.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is his birthday?
His is November 27th of 1957.
Okay.
And hers is the day right after his of November 28th, 1957.
Wow, they're born the same year. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I looked at their compatibility cards, and they're very compatible.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. Yeah, there's a moon connection there between them, which is very strong. But, you know, everything in life, everything that has a beginning has an end, including relationships. Now, I'm not saying this is the end for them, but it, you know, if they've been married, have they been married a long time? Is that the case?
Yeah. And, but I don't want to mention anything about divorce cards coming up if that's not true. I don't want to freak
them
out.
Well, I wouldn't mention it, but I would ask. If they were my clients, I wouldn't be afraid to ask them. First of all, I wouldn't be talking to both of them together.
No, I really don't talk to her. I know about her only through him. He's just a co-worker friend of mine.
Right. So, you know, I would certainly be okay with asking him, well, how have things been in your marriage?
Oh, yeah, I know he's not fulfilled. I mean, he has told me that, but I don't think he would ever leave her at this point. But I don't
Why
think
not?
He'd ever dream in a million years that she would leave him.
Well, okay, you know. See, it's really, knowing people's cards is good, but you have to know something about the person, too, because everybody can express their cards on different levels, you know?
Right.
Now,
yeah,
he
that's
is
why this is so confusing to me, yeah.
Well, he's a Six of Hearts, right? So
mm-hmm.
Six of Hearts tend to hang in there and stick with relationships well beyond the time when they should have left. That's their tendency.
Right, I could see that being the case here.
And that's him, not her. That's what he
right.
has a tendency to do. Okay. Now, Five of Hearts are, of course, much more changeable in the relationship department and much more likely to leave a relationship because of their freedom thing.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
Now, you know, we don't know. They could have, both of them could have had affairs. You don't know.
True.
Do you? So, like, you know, you might be right on the money when you're thinking about what's going on, and yet you'd be afraid to ask it because it seems so outlandish, and yet you might be exactly hitting on exactly what's true. So you don't have to be responsible for what the cards say to them, you know.
True.
You can just say, well, I see this. It's a possibility. What's going on?
Yeah, better be on your best behavior, huh?
Well, no, because even saying that, that's all coming from you and your perspective on it, see?
Yeah, true.
Like, you're the one that's saying, oh, you should be on your best behavior because you might get divorced. Well, you don't even know they could be planning this.
Yeah, no, I don't think he is, but I don't think he would expect it for her to make the first move. I think in his mind, he'll probably wait till the kids are out of high school and off.
Well, and that may be true. That may be true. And they may not even break up with the influences that you see. I mean, there's a lot of other factors, like I said. But, you know, there's going to be a possibility there if you see that. Right, are you talking about after their next birthday? Are you talking about the next year after the next birthday? Is that what you're
yes,
talking about?
Yeah, when they're both 51. Like, for instance, I see a Five of Hearts Pluto card with a Seven of Diamonds result.
Well, Five of Hearts is her. That's
oh.
her birth card.
Right, that's true. Okay, I always forget about that. Okay. I know, I always forget to look for, you know, the common cards there. That
yeah, I mean,
people first more than anything.
And even if it wasn't her, that one card is not enough, in my mind, to say, oh, a breakup is imminent.
Yeah, but then when I saw the Seven of Diamonds, which could mean money coming in or money going out, I thought, well, a divorce could definitely drain money out.
Well, that could only mean that he really wants to make more money for her.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, how do you know?
Because that's the Seven of Diamonds means money, and that's her card there. See?
Right.
So I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen, but that's you have to be open to there's lots of ways of interpreting these so that you don't have a certain bias on it, see?
Right,
so,
okay.
You want to be as kind of open-minded about it as possible because you honestly don't know. And you probably now don't even have all the information. You might think you know them, but there's probably a lot that you don't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how many people are going to open up and tell you all their secrets?
Well, not too many.
Well, I don't know. You know, some people will, but not frequently. And now, hearts are all about relationships. They're all about family, and both of these two are hearts. So if they have a family, you know that it's important to both of them on some level. Do they have kids?
Yes, they have, yes. One daughter's already off to college, but the other one's still in high school.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, parents like that could even stay married even after the kids are gone because they want to do it for the kids. Hearts are like that. You know, hearts will endure things for children's sake that other people wouldn't. But
right. By
the same token, they might just as easily say, okay, we've done our duty. Let's go on and have some fun now.
Yeah.
And break up.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
might.
Now, but
these cards I see here are not about breaking up. As a matter of fact, her long-range card next year is a Four of Hearts, which means stability.
Oh, I thought maybe I wrote down the year wrong, but I saw a Ten of Diamonds and a King of Hearts as long-range cards per in the 51st year, so next after their next birthday.
Well, she's on the 28th of November, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at... Yeah, no, that was... Yeah, that's hers, yeah.
You misread the year, I think.
Oh, I guess I did. Oh, okay, well then, might be all for nothing. Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't say anything. I better go back and recheck my years here. Oh, boy.
But it's okay. Uh-huh. It's okay to ask about those. This is good. You know, but it looks like she's got a Four of Hearts long range. She also has a Four of Hearts in Jupiter. That usually means the husband is making more money, which makes her happy. And he's got cards for making more money. He has an Eight of Diamonds in Jupiter, and he's got a Five of Hearts, Seven of Diamonds, which means he wants to make more money for her.
Mm. Okay, no, that makes sense. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. So I don't really see any breakup cards here.
Oh, good. I'm glad I didn't say anything. Okay. So,
but, you know,
okay.
I mean, and if they choose to share with you anything else, of course, then you can look at it differently. But until they tell you there's a problem, then I wouldn't just assume there is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this real quick about your birthday, because you and I have our same birthday, and this year, on my 50th year, it says King of Hearts as a result card. Is that when you met your wife, just out of curiosity, your current wife, when you had a King of Hearts?
No. Huh? No, I didn't, actually. It wasn't during that year.
Okay.
I met her in my 52nd year.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
Are you single right now?
Yes.
Well, you're going to have a lover.
Yeah, I know. That's what things indicate. I know.
Yeah.
But I have
if
to wait till the end of the year, right?
Well, not. No, you don't have to wait till the end of the year, but by the end of the year, you will have a satisfactory relationship with a man. You can bet on that. But you may have to do some, you know, practicing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Before you get to the end of the year.
Okay. All right.
You know, have you put your name on lovecardsdating.com yet?
No, but I definitely will, for sure.
Yeah, you can sign up now. It's going to be active in about 3 weeks. So.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Yeah,
go sign up and get on the list, and you'll be notified when we're ready to roll.
Okay, great.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Barbara. I hope you
have
a great day.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take another short break here. We're going to play the song Sita Ram, and when we come back, we'll take your calls. This is Robert Lee Camp.
Good.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Sitaram, a little bit of a rock and roll-y kind of a number there, off my CD, Bhakti Rock. We now have Gene waiting patiently on line two, and lines are open, folks. Now's the time to call if you want to call. Gene, who was born June 7th, 1951. Are you there, Gene?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hi, Gene. I'm good. How are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm happy to talk to you. I just want to let you know that a couple of weeks ago you were coming to Chicago, and then
yeah.
I was coming, and then I heard it was canceled, and I'm sorry I missed you. Me and my girls were coming, so.
You know, that was there was a big miscommunication there, because I heard that there was a whole group coming, and they called there one day, and they said that it wasn't going to happen, so.
Are you coming back?
Well, I will someday. I don't have plans immediately, but I'm sure I'll be back there because my wife has family there, so.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope that you let me know up front so I know about it, because I want to come and meet my family and a lot of people, actually.
Well, great. I would love to, Jane. And you're born June 7, 1951, right?
Yes.
And so what's on your mind this evening?
Well, actually, my husband's reaction really, I don't know, distant. So I was wondering about what's going on with him and me.
How long have you guys been married?
Since 1999. This is my second marriage. I was married
sure.
21 years with my first marriage. And this is my second marriage. And I wanted to laugh because I love him. But he's
What's his birthday?
June 25th, 50.
1950?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that you married a five of clubs.
But I want to say one thing. I want to say one thing. A lot
yeah, go ahead.
A lot of terrible things have happened to me since 2000. My son was in prison for something he didn't do. I lost my mother, my sister, and my two-month-old granddaughter. And I'm on the edge, you know, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, and my job changed, my whole career changed, and I'm just like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Actually, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I know what's going on with my life, and I don't understand why it's taking such.
Well, you know, I mean, you having gone through all this, I'm certain that could have an effect on your husband too. You know.
Oh, sure.
All these things. The kind of things you're talking about put a lot of stress and strain on a relationship. So, I mean, I don't see you guys necessarily breaking up.
Okay. I don't know what to happen because I want to be with him. I don't, you know, I'm a very, like, loyal person who I'm with, and I want to be with him.
Well, what does he say when you talk... When you talk to him, what does he say?
He's like a crab. He goes into a little shell. He doesn't say nothing.
Well,
he doesn't give me his feelings or nothing. I have no idea how he feels.
Well, you know, that's not going to help anything, him being that way. It's not going to help you guys, you know, stay together, that's for sure.
So what do you suggest?
Well, you got to get him to agree to be more communicative. I mean, you guys have obviously been through a lot of stuff together recently.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that stuff is, it's probably hurt him as much as it's hurt you in certain ways. Now, he's a five of clubs. He always has that potential to go off and have a secret affair, you know.
You mean together?
No, he
or
has he has the potential to go off and have a secret affair.
He does?
Yeah, because of his car. He's five of clubs.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that's what he's done, because he's also a ten of spades, and ten of spades is very family-oriented. But I'm thinking that it's possible, because if you put enough pressure on somebody, they revert back to behaviors that was comforting to them in the past, see? So it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's true.
Well, if it is true, I'd like to know.
I know, but I can't tell you if it's true. There's nothing here to indicate that that's true. It's just it's always a potential for his birthday.
Okay.
You follow me?
Okay, no.
So,
I guess okay, because he's a Cancer and he's really loyal to his family.
Yeah.
So I and so am I, so I don't see him doing that, but...
It may not be happening. But, you know, when a man becomes distant, there's a reason, you know, there's something going on. So if you you have to find a way to kind of cut through that and get back to loving each other. You know.
So is it on me? Is it on me that you tell me?
Well,
I mean, I have to go through all this, and then this is another thing I have to worry about for myself.
It's your moon to him. You guys have a moon connection, and your moon to him, and really it's up to him. But sometimes you have to do what you got to do, you know. It's not good to make it somebody's fault, you know.
Okay, so I'm saying that you say, it says your moon connection, okay. Are you saying that?
Yeah, this moon connection, your moon to him, which means he's the boss of the relationship, he's the leader. It's kind of up to him to make sure that the relationship is going in the right direction.
All right, so if he screws up, it's his problem then, right?
Well, he won't see it that way, though, you know. He may not see it that way. See, like, it never helps just to sort of find out, like, it's true that it's his responsibility because he's the sun person in the relationship. But just having an attitude like that, that it's his fault or his problem, isn't going to help you guys.
No, I didn't look at it that way, but I'm just saying that I'm feeling like now I have more pressure on myself besides everything I've went through, but now I have to worry about this. Is that the way it is?
Well, you know, you can't go through pressure yourself without him going through pressure with you.
So who do you think has the most pressure since it all happened to me?
Well, he's your partner. Did you ever ask him?
Ask him.
Like, you know, how's all this going for you? I mean, you know, a lot of things can happen. Like, you know, like this is a common thing that happens to a lot of couples. All right, a woman gets pregnant, right? And she's going to have a baby. All of a sudden, the man feels like he's not getting the love that he used to have. Have you ever seen this happen?
You know what I say? I really don't care, because you know what the woman goes through. What she's having a baby and what she has to go through is a lot. If he can't...
Well, no, I agree with you.
He's a selfish individual, okay? Because he impregnated her.
Right.
And now she has to go through all these changes in her body and everything else, and he can't back her. I think that's a horrible person.
Okay. Yeah, and you could be right about that, but... But see, you can't be perfect either.
I'm not perfect. I never claimed to be, but I want to know.
Saying.
Okay, tell me about me. How terrible a person I am, I'd like to know.
Well, your card, the Ten of Diamonds, is known to be a pretty self-centered card.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, no, let me finish. At the same
because
time...
Because I'm not that way at all, but go ahead.
At the same time, one of their biggest challenges in life is learning how to receive from others.
Right,
like
which
they're good at giving, but not good at receiving.
Right.
The biggest challenge in life.
Mm-hmm.
So. But you have a great relationship with your husband. You're his moon card. It's a perfect relationship. But if you can't get him to communicate, you guys, your relationship will break down.
So who is to make the first step, me or him?
Well, I think you're the one who's more conscious. Between the two of you, I think you have more awareness, so I think it's your responsibility.
Oh, wonderful.
Because
okay,
you have more awareness.
I laid the cards out on the line for him?
Well, you need to say to him, honey, we got to talk. We just can't let this go like this. We can't just keep, like, pretending nothing bad is happening. I feel disconnected from you. I want to connect with you. I want us to get back to loving each other. So come on, let's do something.
Okay.
That's what I'm suggesting. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, open up the lines of communication, and if a person is completely unwilling to communicate, then the relationship has already ended, and you just didn't think it was, you know. If one or more people in the relationship are just going to refuse to communicate, the relationship had ended actually before.
Right, but when one person like me has been so many bad things have happened to them that they can't even freaking move, you know.
I can't
but see, you're acting like you're the victim of all this stuff. I don't believe in victims. I really don't. I don't believe that we're victims of life. I think that we have a hand in creating what happens to us. It may look like a victim on the outside, but I think if we look at it closer, we can see how it matches up with the way we think, or things that we wanted or secretly wanted. I've always found in my own life, whenever something bad happened, I always trace it back to myself.
Huh. All right.
So I wouldn't, you know, I understand you've been through a lot, and I have sympathy for that. I'm not saying, you know, it hasn't been difficult for you. But, you know, there's another part. You know when people die in the family, like people commit suicide? Did you know that suicide is the most selfish act that's possible?
Oh, I believe that. I do believe that.
It is, that's the worst problem anybody can have is dying, right?
Well,
and some people die, some people get disease and die, and they don't do it, they're not conscious that they want to die, but they're dying anyway. And they probably are dying because they want to die, and they just can't admit it, you know?
Well, I will agree with that, but my daughter just losing her 2-month-old daughter, I don't believe that she wanted to die, you know, and that just put...
2-year-old daughter? She died?
2-month-old granddaughter just died.
No, in that case, it's not. That's not like that. That's just karma. When things happen to really young, I have a nephew who developed cancer when he was only a year and a half. He didn't create that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
This was just karma. Means that he had to go through it for some reason, but it wasn't something he consciously or, you know, did. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But some things we're just destined to experience. Now, he's still alive. He's actually been getting chemo. But still, iffy whether he'll live or not. And he's still only 2.5 years old, you know?
How old is he now?
He's like 2.5.
Oh. I hope he's
still,
okay. I really do.
It's still, you know, it's still in doubt whether he's going to survive or not. You know?
Right.
So, he didn't create that.
To find your daughter dead next to you when she's 2 months old, that just put me over the edge, you know, so when my daughter lost her baby, so. But,
yeah, I can understand that. That sounds terrible. I mean, worst thing. So I'm looking in your cards. I want to just say a few things about you, okay?
Okay, and you know what? My phone might die, but go ahead. I'm listening to you online,
just
so.
As quickly as I can. This year, these problems that you've had are, for the most part, behind you now, if you can let them go. Okay?
Okay.
And this is a year that you need to get out and be with people more.
All right, which I haven't.
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, you need to get out of the house and kind of get back with your friends and start connecting with people that you like.
Okay.
That's what's called for you this year, okay?
Okay.
And I think
okay.
Your actual marriage will improve as you do that. Let's see. Okay, I lost you. Okay, so we're going to take... her phone is off the line. There we go. We're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to the song Rama Rama. And when we come back, we'll take your calls. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was the song Rama Rama, the most recent single on my CD, Bhakti Rock. And we have some callers on a couple of lines, and we do have a line open if you still want to call. First of all, we'll talk to Lynn. Are you there, Lynn?
I am.
And where are you calling from, Lynn?
I'm calling from Michigan.
Oh, nice. It's a little late out there.
Yes, it is.
And you're born November 4th, 1952. Is that correct?
Yes. That's right.
And you are a three of diamonds, and you're also a seven of diamonds and a two of hearts.
Yes.
And so what can I do for you this evening?
Well, I'm very curious about this upcoming year. I am a psychiatric nurse, and I'm looking to hopefully retire financially. I'm not sure if... you see that I'm going to be all right. I've got a few irons in the fire, and I'm wondering if you think they're going to be okay, if I'm going to be okay financially.
Three of diamonds, their biggest concern is always, am I going to have enough money?
Yes.
Right. And, you know, your birthday is, even though you worry about it, you always have money.
I know. You're right. I do.
Yeah, and you're going to retire next year.
And do you see that for me?
Yeah, I see that. And it's going to be good. It's going to be a whole change of lifestyle. And there's going to be money there. You don't have to worry about the money. It's going to be there.
All right.
There's going to be money. I mean, you will worry anyway, but that doesn't really matter because you do that anyway.
I do. The Three of Diamonds, I really do relate to that. You are very right on with the Three of Diamonds.
If I could take away your worry, I would, but...
I know. I have a couple of businesses that are kind of just starting. I do readings. Do you think the businesses will take off?
Something's definitely going to take off. I don't know what, because I just know you're going to make money.
Okay.
That's all that I know. So I would suggest, because you have this really good money influence, here's my suggestion. Do something that you really enjoy.
Okay.
You know, don't do something just because you think it's going to make money, because whatever you do is going to make money.
Well, my heart is in the psychic readings. I love to do that. However, I'm always drawn to selling, sales, but I always seem to fizzle out. I lose interest. I love the product.
You lose interest because it's not what you really love to do.
Oh.
That's why you lose interest.
Okay.
Because you're only doing
it
for money.
Yes. You're right. I start out, yes.
Yeah, and that's why I'm suggesting do something you love. And, you know, you are predisposed for reading. So if you want to sell something, sell yourself as a reader.
Oh.
You know? And you know, arrange it so that you make more money. Like, don't go into readings being with a poorness kind of approach to it, you know? I mean, really look at it logically. You know, readings, how much money can you really make in a day's time? You know, look at it more realistically.
Okay.
You might have to add something to it to have it be something that pays more for yourself.
Such as?
I don't know, other products and services, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
You know, like accompanying things, something that complements it. But, you know... See, like I bet you're really good at readings. This is what I think, okay? Because you're a three of diamonds, and they're always good at it, okay? So when a person comes to you, they're going to really love what you do. You follow me?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And because you're good at it, they're going to like it. They're going to want to give you money. They're going to want to give you money, and that's going to be limited by how much they can give you. Like, what do you have to offer? See? Follow that?
I'm getting you. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, if I really like you, and all you're offering me is a $75 reading, then all I can give you is $75.
Oh. I'm getting you.
I want to give you I want to give you more, but you don't have anything set up for me to give you more money.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I have people that call me, and they say, every once in a while, somebody will call me and say, Robert, I want to buy everything you got.
I can understand that, because that's how I feel about you. I mean, I get on your site, and I just want it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I have it set up so that if somebody buys everything I have, they're going to spend, you know, over $1,000.
But I don't really know. I just don't really know what else I could offer them, although I would offer if I had something else.
Well, you're creative. You'll come up with something.
Really?
Okay. You're just now starting to look at it. This is the first time you've had the idea. Give yourself a few days to figure it out.
Wow, a few days?
Yeah, more than that. You actually have more than a few days. You have a few months to figure it out, actually. But, you know.
Do you see an actual possible date that I would retire?
It just shows as being a theme for the whole year. So
okay,
the date
for
you
2009.
Choose, yeah. Well, starting on your birth. Yeah, that's basically the year of 2009.
Okay.
The date is up to you.
Okay.
You know.
All
but
right.
It'll be a good ending, and it'll be a new beginning at the same time.
Oh, wonderful.
It's not just an ending. It's an ending followed by a beginning.
That sounds great.
In your case. Yeah. And that's
that
what you really
wonderful.
Want, I assume. That's what you want.
Oh, I do. I'm so ready to leave what I've been doing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just don't get yourself locked into something else that you don't really love.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah, that's like perpetuating. That's like, you know, that's kind of like craziness.
Put yourself in another trap that you were just...
Yeah, go
just
from one right
on
to
it.
The other and, you know,
yeah.
Recreate the situation where...
That's right.
Oh, yeah, just like my job.
I well,
quit
thank
my
you
job
so-
to get this.
Yes. Thank you so much. You are wonderful.
I just
adore everything you do.
Thanks for being my guest tonight.
Thank you so much. Take
All
care.
Right. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sure. Okay, I love talking to Three of Diamonds. They're the karma card that I owe, so I get a chance to give to them. And usually what I end up giving them is something about money, because that's their number one challenge in life. And I had the same challenge. And I overcame that through my own efforts, and I'd like to share that with them. It's my way of giving back. So we have Rosemary, who was born on July 19th, 1945, on line two. And we have lines open, folks, if you want to call in. So are you there, Rosemary?
Yeah, I'm a nine of clubs, I understand.
You are a nine of clubs for sure, and a jack of hearts. So you've got a lot of strength there in that birthday.
Hope so.
Oh, no. You should know by now.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Like, no one's going to tell you what to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'll check within. I'll make sure before I set that in motion, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're. So, I mean, every woman I've met, your birthday is pretty, you know, pretty powerful. And, you know, I mean, they're not mean or anything, but they're strong and they know it. And that's a good thing. They take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm married to a wonderful man who is an ace of diamonds.
Uh-huh. What birthday is
it? And today's... His birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Leo, ace of diamonds. All right. How long you guys been married?
Pardon?
How long you been married?
About 8 years now.
Oh, okay. That's great.
It's a wonderful marriage.
Yeah.
It's been a week. I don't know what he's working up to for his birthday. I just got him, redeemed him out of the hospital on Wednesday from a bug bite. And
oh,
then
wow.
He proceeded to fall down out of the pear tree. And I looked at him and I said, that's enough. Grabbed a bottle of marjoram to prevent muscle spasm and hauled him off to the chiropractor.
You know, I mean, hopefully his luck will change around his birthday.
That's what I call that. Please tell me that's so.
Okay, so what year was he born?
1930.
Let's have a look here at his next year. I don't see any reason why he'd be having problems just now, but, you know, whatever. Let's see here. Now, is he retired? I would sort of think he is.
Yeah.
Is he retired?
Mm-hmm.
But does he want to get... Ace of Diamonds can't really sit still for long. Does he got things that he does? Is he in some kind of a...
Yeah, he has a second job, of course.
Okay. Because, you know, his long-range card next year is the King of Diamonds, which means, you know, running his little business somehow.
Oh, cool. I've been hoping for that.
Yeah, and he's going to... It's going to be a really fun year for him. Yeah.
Oh, good. Nothing could make me happier.
And he's got your card in Venus, and which means you guys are getting along great. So I don't really see any problems at all.
Okay,
so, you know, things do change often. Right around our birthday, things shift. And this will certainly be it. Things always shift right around our birthday, you know.
Well, I looked at him and I said, you're the only man I know that can kick the bucket and lift it till the tail.
Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun together.
Okay, so it's just more of a shift and nothing that is a trend?
No, it's going to be good. It's a shift for the better.
Oh, thank you. And as I said, I called you and I had your book in my lap, and I thought, maybe I should talk to the master.
Well, you're always welcome to call and be on the show. Call anytime.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Rosemary. You too.
Bye-bye.
Oh, now we have two lines open, but we do have a caller on line two. I guess they're all on line two. I don't know how that's possible, but they are. This is Becky, and her birthday is February 21st, 1951. Are you there, Becky?
Yes, sir. Hello, Robert.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Calling from Louisiana?
Yes, sir.
How's the weather down there?
I'm sorry?
How's the weather down there?
Very hot, very muggy.
Yeah,
I have a question. I've met a man, and he's Spanish, and he's from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out to be he's very spiritual, and I'm very attracted to him. And
yeah.
We are talking about doing some spiritual work together.
Yeah.
And I just, yes, sir.
And are you both available for a intimate relationship?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, you know, you guys are really compatible.
We are.
Yeah. You know, he's a nine of hearts and also a jack of clubs.
Yes, sir.
You're a four of diamonds and an eight of diamonds.
Yes, sir.
And jack of clubs, they just love four of diamonds people.
Well, we just met in a week ago today, and we spent some time together yesterday. I know how I feel the attraction, but I'm not real sure that he's not really expressed that to me. You know how he feels the attraction.
You know, the chances are he does feel it. I can't speak for him, but because there's always other factors that can have a mitigating effect, but overall, I think that he really, really likes you. You're a Neptune card of his, which is like the woman of his dreams card.
Wow.
So I think if it hasn't hit him yet, it will certainly hit him soon.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm serious. That's most likely what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Let's see here. He is in his Saturn period right now, but it ends tomorrow, so that'll be good. He'll be getting out of that. Is he ending some kind of relationship thing right now with somebody else? Do you know?
No, sir. He had a girlfriend. He told me about a year and a half ago, and he ended that.
Okay, so that's the only one you're aware of.
Yes, sir. He's been married twice, and I've been married three times.
Okay. Well, you know, I think this could be good. I don't know, you know, you're not, neither one of you is showing up strongly in the other person's cards, but you're definitely well connected. You have the card of a love affair right now. So it's possibly him, unless you met somebody else you haven't told me about.
No, sir. I haven't met anyone else.
Now, why are you calling me sir so much?
Oh, I'm a Southern Belle.
Is that a Southern habit?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, yes.
It's okay. I can handle it.
Okay.
Anyway, he's showing up to be a really good influence for you this year, so I would just be open to good things happening.
Yes, sir. Do you possibly think that marriage could be in the cards?
Well, that's getting way ahead of the... That's putting the cart way ahead of the horse. We're not even at first base yet, all right?
Okay, yes, sir.
Let's wait till the home run, that comes a little later.
Okay.
Get some guys on bases first. You know, just because he's showing up doesn't mean he's going to be the only guy you meet this year either.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You know yourself better than me.
Yes, sir.
What you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's just take it one step at a time.
Okay.
And see how things work out with him before we start, you know, thinking about marriage. You guys got a lot of ground to cover before that becomes a topic.
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
Yes.
I mean, just logically thinking, you know.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome, Becky. You have a great evening.
Yes, sir. You have a blessed evening.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Southern Belle treatment's kind of nice. I don't know if I like it or not, being called sir, but maybe it's okay. Okay, without further ado, we have another caller from Pacifica, California. His name is James, born November 2nd, 1954. Are you there, James?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, how's it going?
Oh, it's going okay, but I'm really struggling with employment right now. I've been unemployed for 4 years. And I was in the banking industry in operations for 12 years, and I'd gotten laid off for the second time. So I decided to go back to school and get a degree or two, and I finished up with a master's degree. When I went back to work 10 years ago, nobody would hire me. All I got was a series of short temporary positions that really didn't lead anywhere. Until about 4 years ago, I got a job as a web content administrator for a major university here, but it was just a temporary contract. But I really love that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've got nothing.
Okay, so how are you supporting yourself here?
Well, I'm not. I live with a relative.
Oh, okay. Is that difficult, or how is that?
No. Actually, it's mutually beneficial, but, you know, I need a job, and I need to get my life back.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it's there are influences that, you know, that for new jobs and that sort of thing that show up in the cards. Have you been looking for a job all year?
Oh, yeah. I list myself with about 12 different agencies. I check the internet for a couple hours every day, and occasionally I'll get contacted by a recruiter, and they're real excited because the job seems to be a good fit, and they ask me if they can submit my resume. I say, please do, and then I hear nothing from them.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
this is very common.
You know, I don't know exactly, you know, I don't know you all that well to know exactly what's going on, but your cards are the Five of Diamonds and the Nine of Diamonds are your two main cards. Are you familiar with your cards? Have you ever heard this before?
No, not really, other than, you know, playing cards.
So, yeah. Well, every birthday of the year in this system is assigned one of the 52 cards. And then there's a secondary card that we have that's called the Ruling card. And these two cards define our personality. And both of yours are diamonds, so money is important to you. I know that for sure, okay? But I have a feeling that your requirements for your job are very high. I mean, in other words, I have a feeling that you have very high expectations of what your job will be. Is that true?
I'm not sure. I mean,
you know
other than
mean
being treated with respect.
No, I mean, not in the way you'd be treated, but that the job would have to meet certain qualifications for you to feel like it was acceptable. Is that true?
Well,
in terms of prestige and financial, how much you would make.
Oh, I don't need the prestige. I don't even, you know, need to wear a suit. I need to make a decent wage, and I need to enjoy the people I'm working with and enjoy the job.
Yeah, of course, of course. But see, there's some reason why you're not getting a job that's inside of you. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's what I've been trying to figure out for years now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the cards can indicate, like, I could actually, you could have had a job this year. There was money cards showed up. It's not like it couldn't have happened, okay? And it still can happen, but there's something within you that you're not aware of that's saying, I don't want a job.
Hmm.
I mean, it has to be true because you've successfully not had a job for so long.
Yeah.
So it's just good to look at it that way, even if you don't believe it right away, just to kind of explore that a little bit. Okay, why would I not want a job? Or what about it? What about me would be resisting it or whatever? Just taking a look, you know. I know that Nine of Diamonds people, your Nine of Diamonds ruling card, they do, the reason I said what I said earlier was because they often feel like they don't get the right, they don't feel like they get the, they feel like they get the short end of the stick a lot in life, in deals.
Yeah, that's definitely the way I feel.
Okay. And so what I discovered about Nine of Diamonds, and I studied them very carefully because they're one of my karma cards, is, and I'm connected to the Nine of Diamonds. So I care about them more, and I study them. And what I've discovered is they have higher expectations than other people, such that their expectations, nothing can quite be good enough. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Like if I didn't have
a
job, James, and I needed to work, I wouldn't care what it is. I'd go out and I'd flip burgers. I'd clean toilets. You know, I've worked construction. I've worked in kitchens. I've done all kinds of work. And when it comes right down to it, I can work. And if there's a job available, I'll take it. If I need the money, I'll do it, you know. Now, if I have a choice, I'll do the job that I prefer, that's more interesting, more, let's say, meaningful to me personally. I would do that when I have a choice. But if I had no choice, I would take whatever is available. And I wouldn't complain because I know I'm making a living and supporting myself. See? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know,
I haven't turned anything down. I just haven't gotten any offers.
Well, where have you been applying?
Well, all the...
I mean, you sound like a smart guy, and you sound like you have a lot to offer a lot of people. And there are jobs all around you right now where you live. Why aren't you getting any of those? There's so many ways you can approach this. And, you know, one of your
greatest
gifts...
Somebody told me that...
One of your greatest gifts, whether you realize it or not, is that you could be an excellent salesman. You could make a lot of money selling things. Have you ever considered that as an occupation?
I've considered it. I've tried it. I was a stockbroker at one time many years ago, and I came away with that from that experience with a very bad taste in my mouth.
Well, you know, that was stockbrokering. But how about, like, selling cars? How about
I actually
selling
tried
real
that,
estate?
Too.
How about real estate?
Real estate, I considered that, but everyone around here wants a lot of experience.
I'll tell you what everybody really wants. They want somebody that can sell. All they really want is somebody that can make them some money. Trust me.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's the real truth. And you actually, you don't know this about yourself. I do. You are an salesman extraordinaire. You just don't know it. And you got involved in the stock market where you didn't like the environment or something like that about it, and turned you off to it. But you should never give up selling. It's something that comes natural to you and easy. Your card is called the salesman card in the whole deck. Trust me. If you just pick something that you like, would like to sell, go out there and show up and say, hey, I can sell these. Let me help you out. They'll hire you. There's a great book that I read.
You know, now that you mentioned it, I have a little hobby business which makes no money at all. And the plan was to import some cutting-edge LED lighting products that I would import from China and sell them on the web.
Yeah.
I could never get up enough money to buy some inventory.
Oh, trust me,
that's the problem. My plan when I got into school was get a job, you know, earn some money, put it into inventory, and sell this on the internet. And I met with the manufacturer at the Las Vegas SEMA show a couple of years ago. They're patiently waiting for me to do business with them.
You know, there are so many people right now. I don't have $1 million sitting in my account, but I've got money sitting in a bank account. I'm thinking, where could I invest this and make some money on it? And there are so many people right now, you can't make any money on any investments right now. Everything's losing money. Stock market's unstable. You only get like 2% for like a savings bond, for savings or for, all the other traditional investments. And all these people are looking for somewhere to invest their money to make some money. And you got this beautiful opportunity, and they don't even know about you. They got the money.
Well,
they got the money.
There's more to it than that.
No, there's not.
You know, I don't even want to get involved in trying to borrow money from either a private investor or anyone like that to try to get this business going. Because
there's the requirement that you have that's limiting your choices. There's one example of that. I don't see that.
Okay,
as a
then that's an example.
You know, like there is this money out there. Trust me, I once got into real estate investing. And I bought one house with a friend, and we doubled our money in 6 months. And I had everybody in the whole neighborhood knocking on my door wanting to give me money. Everybody wants to invest money in something. If you have a good plan, if you think this thing could be successful, you can write your own ticket, and the money will be there. Somebody will walk right up to you and say, and you'll have a conversation at a party, and it'll be the right person right there, and you guys can go into a business arrangement. See? So you got to like get out of this limitation thinking. There is no lack of money in the world. there's so much.
I agree with you there.
You know, and you can have it. You can have the money, but you have to be willing to open up and let it flow more. You know, you have to be able to receive it and then give it. And your card, you have to give more than you receive in your own mind to make it work. Even though it's more of an attitude than it is anything else. It's more like a way of looking at life with knowing that your expectations can keep you constantly unhappy. See? So.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, I see a year ahead when you could have a lot this next coming year. I'm looking ahead now at your next birthday. I see the potential for a lot of success in this year. I see love also possibly in your life. You know, another chapter, you know, of good things. But,
so you think I might get a job then?
Well, yeah. I don't know if it'll be a job or if it'll be a career. You know, it could be a job or it could be you're doing your own business. I don't know for sure. It's not really showing up to be one way or the other, so it's probably not significant in the coming year, whatever it is. I mean, what I mean is it's not important whether it's a job or whether you're working for yourself is not important. I know.
Or could it be I win the lottery?
The lottery? No.
No.
It's not showing up that way.
Oh, that's too bad. I keep trying those lottery numbers like a fool.
Whose money are you using for this stuff?
That's my relative's money.
Well, you know, they're not helping you out giving you money to use in the lottery. I mean, it may seem like they're helping you out, but that's not really helping you. You need to have your own satisfaction in this matter, which means you got to find your own success in life. That's what you really
want. Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And that, therein lies the frustration.
Well, you can start by stopping wasting your time on the lottery. You know, just start right there. Like, don't even, just focus all your attention on something that, you know, you can do. That you can execute a plan and watch that plan be executed and be successful. Use all this business sense that you have and make it work. It's up to you. You know, otherwise you're going to feel like a loser, and that's not a good thing to feel.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's, no man wants to feel like a loser. It's
right.
Hard on guys. You know, it's hard for us to be like this guy who can't get it going together. So, anyway, good talking to you.
Well, thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it.
Yep. So, you know, just open your mind up a little bit. Lower your requirements. Go out there and work a job that doesn't pay that much. Just go get one just to get back into action. You know what I mean?
Well, I have been looking for even part-time jobs.
I can't believe that. I can't believe this.
Yeah, it's tough over here in the San Francisco Bay Area.
I know it's hard everywhere, but there are jobs. Go on Craigslist.
I'm on Craigslist every day.
Oh, good, good, good. Glad to hear that.
I'm in for about an hour.
Oh, good, good. All right, James. I'm going to have to let you go.
All right, thanks again. I really appreciate it, Robert.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have somebody born on a very rare birthday online two. Again, actually, James was on line three. So we have two lines open. We're going to keep going here. This is CJ, born December 30th, 1958. Are you there, CJ?
I am here.
So what does CJ stand for?
That is a first and middle name. Is Charlene Joseph.
Charlene Joseph?
Yeah.
You're a Joseph?
I'm a real Joseph.
Who gave you that name?
When you're a Roman Catholic, you have to take the father's name, and they don't give you
I see. Okay, got it. All right, thanks for cluing me in on that there. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, yeah, it's a pleasure. I've been using your cards for a long time, and when it comes to using them for other people, I do great, but when it comes to myself, I get myself all confused.
I think a lot of people have that experience, so that's why you're calling in tonight, right?
That's right. I'm so happy to get through. I guess it's just a real synopsis quickie. I got laid off about a year and a half ago, and I've been in insurance for 20 years, and I've been basically, you know, started my own out of my home. But I've been very slow in proceeding because I was really, my heart wanted to change into another field. My other passions, intuitive work and different types of healing, healing industry. But I haven't really, for some reason, I am just holding back on anything. And I'm even in my insurance, I'm going very slow. It's almost like I'm at a halt, and I don't know really what I really should do. And then I look ahead, and I go, that doesn't look good. My nine of spades and king of diamonds next year. So I'm thinking, I don't know what's holding me back. So maybe you could shed some light for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what you're in Saturn right now. You got some major relationship stuff happening. What's going on there?
No, I don't. I know it looks that way, but my relationship here happens to be I take care of my mother. She's this elderly lady, and she lives in a senior place, so I help with her. She, between that and doing my personal stuff, it takes up time. I have a lot of friends in the spiritual and healing industry that I, you know, coincide and work with and been learning things, but there's been nothing serious. All the people I meet are married.
Oh, that's good.
And
well, it's not over yet. Maybe it's
which
something
is
kind that
of good for me. But
yeah, well, it could be something that hasn't shown up yet, possibly. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But let's talk about your career thing then.
Yeah, I am really torn on where to go.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know if I can't answer, like, what specific way to go in terms of your career, like, what career is best. I really don't have anything that can tell you that.
I can help you. I mean, I can ask you another way.
I've met several women of your birthday. Some of them are very successful. They get involved in all kinds of things. They usually have more than one thing going at the same time.
Yeah, I do usually.
And, you know, usually one of those things is, like, really business, like, business-oriented, you know. Like, like, one woman I knew, she was a real estate developer. She did really good, you know. She was highly successful developing and buying and selling real estate on a commercial basis. Okay. And she had a whole string of boyfriends. Men to her were like boy toys.
Yeah, so I can understand that.
Yeah. So, you know, and she pretty much had the life that she wanted, and that was cool. Another woman I knew, she was like you. I think she was like into some kind of healing modality. She did like some sort of I think she was a counselor, psychological counselor, something like this. And she enjoyed that. And she had a string of boyfriends.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the string, yes.
And then Tiger Woods is your birthday. You know this, right?
Yes, I know. He's 11.
And so, you know, it's hard to say what would be the exact right formula for you. This is a five of spades year for you. It's a year of transition, change, you know. Change
yeah,
of lifestyle.
I just see that.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the major
thing
this year.
That's always a change of lifestyle.
Well, it's like a change. Yeah, it's something that changes your life. Like it's either like your change of job, or it can be change of where you live. It can be lots of things, but it means you basically end up changing everything that you do. So next year you have a three of spades long range, which is your ruling card, and that is an artist card. So I know for a fact that next year you're going to be doing a lot of different things at the same time. Okay.
All right.
And you have a king of spades in your other spread, so I would suggest you set a goal for yourself. You know, even this year, you've got some good influences, but set a goal for yourself of, like, what you want to achieve. And I think it's got to be something big, like something maybe bigger than you've ever tried or something, you know, something that would be really successful. You are ambitious, you know.
I am, yes, I am.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you fully...
Sometimes I put too many things in a fire, and then I'm not quite sure what to pick. This is going to be an issue.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can relate to that. But the truth is, you'll probably always have at least two things in the fire, and you might as well get used to it and just be successful at two things.
All right. Well, I guess I could continue on as usual.
You can pull that off.
Yeah.
You can be successful at more than one thing.
I can do that.
Yeah, you can do more than one thing at the same time, right? You can walk and chew gum and all that stuff. And
yeah,
three
right.
of spades,
yeah.
They have to have two things going, at least two things, if not more.
Yeah. But I was considering moving my residence next year, but I see it this year, but I don't want to move this year. But I don't see it next year.
Well, you know, don't worry. You can move this year or you can move next year. It's not a problem.
Yeah,
you have a move card coming up in September and October. So, you know, who knows? You could change your mind in a month here or something.
That's true. I did see that.
You have a move card wrapped to your birthday.
Work.
You have a move card wrapped to your birthday as well. So, you know, be just... open and willing to go wherever you need to be.
All right. I will do that. I sure appreciate it.
Well, great, CJ. I appreciate you calling. We don't get to hear from Asa Hartz very often.
Well, I'm glad you pointed out what I'm looking at the cards is pretty much exactly what I thought it was anyway, and I'll just have to go with the flow from here to the end of the year.
Absolutely. Don't get too excited about anything. Things are going to start shifting right after your Saturn period. Just wait and see.
Okay. Well,
right.
Thank you so much. It's
You're
great
welcome.
Talking with you.
All right. Good
okay,
night.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Well, that was fun, and I don't think we actually have any other callers, so we're probably going to end a little early tonight with our favorite song, which is called the Gayatri Chant. We always end the show with a song. It's meditative, it's kind of slow. I hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back next week. By the way, the Love Cards Dating website, which is lovecardsdating.com, is definitely in process. It's looking more and more beautiful every day. The features are starting to show up, and we are definitely online to, you know, on target to be starting by the end of this month. If you're single and want to join in, or if you're going to be single and want to join in, feel free. We'd love to have you on the site. So this is Robert Lee Camp saying good night. We're going to play Gayatri, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much for being here tonight.
Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Deyo Yona Prachodayam.